Brother John is going to be our speaker for this session, and I just want to say that it's good working here in the office with John. We've had a good relationship, and with him serving now as the president of BIO, and me serving as the general director, where John was formerly in that position. We would certainly appreciate you praying for us, the Lord to give us wisdom, helping us in our new roles and responsibilities. And
praying for Brother David in front of us.
Yes, yeah, that would be in a category all its own. So pray for us in these things, and I certainly appreciate things that John has taught me and how he's helped me to grow in spiritually and in administrative matters. So, Brother John, you come and give us what the Lord has laid on your heart.
Yes. This week has been different for me. I am used to being hands-on and doing it. I think I put together like 18 of these schools, and so it's just really awkward for me to sit back there and not do anything. But we're learning our new roles and how God will use us in that role together. And I do appreciate Brother Terry and Miss Barb. They have done an excellent job putting this school together and executing it. And I'm thankful for that. Brother Terry gave me the title of Magnify the Lord in our conduct. Magnify the Lord in our conduct. And of course, our verse for this week is magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And I was thinking about that along these lines. And I thought about what we had already talked about, magnifying the Lord. How can you make the Lord bigger? You can't make the Lord bigger. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Isaiah 57:15. It says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. However, I dwell in the high and holy place." I didn't finish the verse. We can't make the Lord bigger. How can you make someone that dwells in eternity, that inhabits eternity? He's got a foot in the past and a foot in the future. He inhabits eternity. I can't wrap my mind around that. That's a big God, and we can't make him bigger. But there are people that we minister to, that we rub shoulders with, that the Lord gives us opportunity to make a difference in their lives. They have no clue. They don't know who God is. I remember on many occasions in China meeting people who had never heard of the name Jesus. And that just blew my mind, being here where Jesus is used, in such unreverent ways frequently, to meet someone who's never even heard of his name. We can't make God bigger, but we can make God big in the eyes of other people. And Brother Terry asked me to talk about this in light of our conduct. I searched for the word conduct in the Bible, and it had to do more with like conducting your way. The Bible word for conduct is conversation. That's the Bible word that we would use for our manner of life, our conversation. And the Bible says in Psalm 50:23, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." We know Hebrew poetry, they didn't rhyme words. They rhymed by contrasting or comparing thoughts. And the thought there in Psalm 53 is dealing with glorifying God in our manner of life, in our conversation. "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." We can glorify the Lord with the praise of our mouth. But the Bible says, "And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, his manner of living, will I show the salvation of God." That's beautiful. That's exactly what we're talking about here. God can show the salvation that he gave us through our lives, through our manner of living, through our conversation. So just beginning, before we kind of narrow it down, there's many things that we can talk about regarding our conversation, but I'd like to just pass out a few verses for us to read just to get us narrowing this idea of our manner of life and our conversation down. So if I could have you read verses for me, that would make it go real quick. So I'll just assign verses. 2 Corinthians 1:12, Brother Richard and Brother David. Ephesians 4:22. And Miss Kathy, do you mind reading?
No.
Philippians 1:27 for you. And Brother Shane, Philippians 3:20. And Brother Chris, 1 Peter 1:15. And then Miss Lucinda, you can voice for her if you don't mind, or read her verse. 2 Peter 3:11. And then Brother Joel, 1 Peter 2:12. And then Miss Lottie, 1 Timothy 4:12. And then Brother Terry, Hebrews 13:7. I have them all dished out, I think. And we don't need to turn to all these, but let's just listen to the different ways that the Word of God tells us to carry ourselves in our conversation, our manner of life. And the first one has to do with simplicity and sincerity. Brother Richard, would you read 2 Corinthians 1:12, please?
For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you.
Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he was saying, hey, guys, we lived simply and we lived with sincerity among you. Our conscience is void of offense. We were simple folk and we were sincere folk in the way we conducted ourselves. Brother Peach, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22.
That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts.
All right, our conversation should be that of one who has put off the old man. Now, the old man can mean two different things to two different people. To someone that's unsaved, that's their natural way. But to a believer, we have a new man. Our spirit has been recreated by the Holy Spirit. So we have a choice to either live according to the new man recreated by the Spirit of God, or by the natural man that we were born with. And Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he tells them in their conversation to put off the old man, to live in the new man. As a Christian, we're told how to live as a Christian in Philippians 1:27. Our conversation should be that as a Christian. We should act as it becomes a Christian. A Christian, we know what that is. How does a Christian act? We could all list different ways that you would expect a Christian to act. You might meet somebody who treats you wrong and you think, man, and she's a Christian. I don't expect Christians to act that way. We have a certain idea in our mind that we know is right and or wrong for a believer. And then also in chapter 3 and verse 20 of Philippians.
For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
We talked about culture a little bit this week with Brother Shane Rice. But we actually, now that we've been recreated as a new man or a new woman, we have a different culture. We have a culture from a heavenly city. And that culture is completely different from any other culture in the world. Now, there's some cultures that are more closely aligned with that culture because of the influence of godly men and women in their history. But our culture as citizens of heaven is completely different. And we are to act according to our culture. as a citizen of heaven. The Bible's very clear in Hebrews 13:5. I didn't give that one. But it says in Hebrews 13:5 that we should live without covetousness. Let our conversation be without covetousness. Because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. With the Lord Jesus Christ, what else do we need? We don't need anything else. Jesus Christ satisfies everything and makes sure that everything that we need, we have. So we are told in Hebrews 13:5 that our conversation should be without covetousness. And we're also told to live in holiness. Brother Chris, 1 Peter 1:15. We are to be holy. Of course, we know that word is not really mystical. It means set apart. We're to be different. We're to be set apart for God's glory. And then 2 Peter 3:11.
Let him eschew evil and do good.
All right, to live holy, our conversation should be holy. We're also to live with honesty. 1 Peter 2:12, Brother Joel.
Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that wherewith you speak, because you are evildoers, and you live by your good works, which you destroy before, glorify God, and you give all visitation.
These are all charges that God gives us in His Word as far as our conversation, or our word for today in this hour, our conduct to glorify God. We can glorify the Lord with our mouth, as the psalm says, and we can also glorify God by showing the salvation of God in us by our conduct or by our conversation. And now we're going to go just a little bit more focused with Lottie reading 1 Timothy 4:12. We know that Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he was writing to Timothy as a missionary leader, as an evangelist.
Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in
spirit. Excellent. Paul was telling Timothy that even though he was young, as a leader, he needed to be an example in his conversation. He was speaking to him as a missionary leader, saying, hey, you're young, but you be an example by the way you live, by the way you conduct yourselves. You be an example. And then Hebrews 13:7, Brother Terry.
Remember then which hath the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follows, considering the end of their conversation.
Again, Paul is speaking to us, I believe it's Paul in Hebrews, and says that we are to live in a way by following our leaders, but we don't just follow them blindly. We consider the direction of their life, not that they're not human, that they're not going to make mistakes, that they're not going to have struggles, but we're following the pattern of their lives, and we're watching their conversation, their lifestyle, their manner of living, their conduct, and we're following them accordingly. So with that in mind, I want to speak to us as far as our conduct goes as missionaries, as missionary leaders. James chapter 3 and verse 13 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. We have wisdom here and knowledge. And how do we exhibit that wisdom and knowledge? By showing a good conversation with meekness of wisdom. And the next three points that I have, the main points I have, are looking at our conduct and how we can glorify God, not in the broad way that we looked at in these passages, but in a specific way as far as being missionary leaders, as Paul addressed Timothy. I want to first of all see that we should consider our conduct with regard to our call. We should consider our conduct with regard to our call. And the word that I want you to remember, if there's one word for this point, is humility. Humility. Let's turn with me over to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And we're very familiar with this portion of Scripture. We've probably told this lesson many times. We just looked at it in our family devotions this week. John chapter 13, let's begin reading at verse 12. We know that the Lord's Supper, Jesus took a towel and he washed his disciples' feet. And we know as well that the disciples' feet were a lot dirtier than our feet are right now, having lived in the Middle East at that time. In John chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, "So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Remember, Paul said to Timothy, "Be thou an example." And Jesus says, "I am doing this as an example to you." The word is humility. I just read this week on, you know how you look at Facebook? I'm sure everybody in here has Facebook, right? You look on Facebook and you see these articles that capture your interest, and so you click on them, and after 500,000 ads, you finally get to see what you're trying to read. And this was about Marine leadership. And I didn't know about this, but the culture in the Marines is that an officer, any officer in the Marines, will carry his own bags, and they will always eat last. The enlisted men will always go before the officers. And I thought, that's good. That's good for us. As leaders, we carry our own stuff and put other people before us. In Philippians 2:3, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than themselves." In Samoa, there was a phrase, "Mumu'oyau," "you before me." And a lot of times people would say that, "you before me, you before me." The culture is very hospitable and very accommodating. But that's the idea. That should be our impulse. That should be our reaction, "you before me." To step back and let other people go first. Ephesians 5, 19 and 21 says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And there, once again, in the church, we see praise given to God, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then on the other hand, we see the members of the body exhibiting the salvation of God by submitting themselves one to another. Submitting themselves one to another. Coming together as a body without any agenda. The only agenda is to honor Christ and to put your brother or sister before yourself. In 1 Peter 5:5, again the same thing. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." I think Brother Chris had this verse. "Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility." Considering our conduct in regard to our call, I think one thing that we need for sure as missionaries, as missionary leaders, and that is humility. In every context, in every situation. You know, when somebody is frustrated with you and they attack you, the natural impulse is to allow the flesh to rise up within you and to answer right back. But I pray that we can have the patience and the control of the Spirit of God to take a breath and to wait and to thoughtfully, prayerfully respond in humility. If we're right, we're right. If we're wrong, we're wrong. We can deal with that. But we need to make sure that we're humble. when there is differences in personalities or differences in culture, it's important for us to take a breath and make sure we maintain the spirit of humility. Considering our conduct with regard to our call. The second thing I want us to look at is considering our conduct with regard to culture. With regard to culture. I put this together before the training school, and it was interesting to me as I was observing. I love it to watch the Lord, how He weaves things together. And there's several things here in my time that kind of weaves through a couple of other subjects that were covered. But the word that I want to give you is regarding this point, considering our conduct with regard to culture, is sensitivity. Sensitivity. There are different kinds of missionaries. I have seen missionaries who have been very successful as pioneer missionaries. I think, for an example, every one of us in here would recognize the name Hudson Taylor. And he was the quintessential pioneer missionary in how he adapted the dress of the Chinese and how he actually became Chinese and ministered to God in China as a pioneer missionary. But as Kathy mentioned and Shane during Shane's time, God doesn't always call us to that kind of ministry. But for the most part, we all deal with different cultures. And the idea is sensitivity. Even if it's the culture that's heavenly culture and a worldly culture, the word is sensitivity. And this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, 22 and 23. He says, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be made partakers thereof with you." Paul, once again, is not talking about the praise of his lips to honor God, but he's talking about showing the salvation of the Lord, as we read in Psalms. By becoming weak, Albert Barnes wrote this, "Became I as weak." This is what Paul was saying. "I did not shock them. I complied with their customs. I conformed to them in my dress, habits, manner of life, and even in the services of religion. I abstained from food which they deemed it their duty to abstain from, and where, if I had partaken of it, I should have offended them. Paul did not do this to gratify himself or them, but to do them good. And Paul's example should teach us not to make it the main business of life to gratify ourselves, and it should teach us not to lacerate the feelings of others, not to excite their prejudices needlessly, not to offend them where it will do no good. If truth offends men, we cannot help it. But in matters of ceremony and dress and habits and customs and forms, we should be willing to conform to them as far as can be done for the sole purpose of saving souls." Sensitivity. My time in Samoa was a learning experience, to say the least, for me. I probably was culturally obtuse. I remember going through that series, Brother Chris, that you had talked about, culture adaptation, culture shock, and I remember that frustration stage. There was one road that went around the island, and the maximum speed was 25 miles an hour, except on the airport road that was on just a short strip on the backside of the island. That was 30 miles an hour. You could really fly on that one. But every Sunday morning, I'd get up real early, and we'd all pile in our 15-passenger van, and I'd pick up kids and take them to church. And before we got to our church, we had to drive through the tuna canneries. And man, they were foul. They had no filters on their incinerators, and they would just take the leftover remains of the fish and just incinerate it, and the stench was amazingly terrible. And the wind, of course, always blew towards our church. Well, this beautiful road went right through the tuna canneries, and that really was the heart of the island. That's where the only industry on the island was of any size. That's where most of the people worked. If they didn't work for the government, they worked for the tuna cannery. And so they would try to keep this road neat, and they'd pave it every once in a while. Well, one time they got the idea that they thought, you know, we've had a lot of hurricanes through here. We should bury our telephone lines. So they went through and they dug up the road and they buried. The road was right on the ocean. And they buried those telephone lines right along the way. Well, of course, while they did that, they tore up the road and we had to wait in traffic and slowly meander our way through. That lasted for probably about 5 months. And then for a month or two, it was perfect. It was fine, 25 miles an hour humming to church. And then they decided that, you know what? It would not only be a good idea to bury the telephone lines, it would be a wonderful idea to bury the power lines. So, dig up the road again. And I remember, and I cringe at this now, I remember in my van full of Samoan people thinking, and I said out loud, these people, why don't they do this thing all together and save this frustration? And I thought to myself, how ugly, these people. What? When somebody says that, when I'm traveling with somebody overseas and they say, these people, that just cuts my heart because I remember when I was so cruel and so hard towards the people and my frustration. And I'm thinking, sensitivity. If I offend them, how in the world can I communicate the gospel of Christ to them? If I hurt them, how can I tell them and show them the salvation of God? I can't magnify the Lord like that. The Samoan culture is very, very different from our culture in that our culture is linear. You know, if there's a problem with Shane, I'm going to go up to Shane and say, hey, Shane, your tie's crooked. But, you know, in Samoa, they don't talk straight. They talk in circles. And it has the whole idea of living in a close island, living with each other. They learn to put up with each other gracefully and just kind of sweep everything under the carpet just to get along but seethe on the inside. And so I was very straightforward with some of the things I communicated. And I know that I hurt people by being brusque, by being short. I remember one time when I frustrated one of the church people, he came up to me just as kind and as gracious. He's still my friend. We went back and visited to give me a big old bear hug. But he said this to me, and this is an example of how they would communicate something abruptly. He said, Brother John, he said, you're really good with children. And all of a sudden it hit me. It's like, he's saying I'm not good with adults. And he was right. But, you know, we all will have a challenge in dealing with another culture. And however the Lord leads you to be involved in that culture is up to the Lord. But I think the key word is sensitivity. Sensitivity. And I appreciated what Miss Lucinda said in communicating to that one young woman. Sensitivity as a servant of God, as a missionary, we should be clothed with humility and we should be sensitive. We should be like a turtle, hard on the outside, but soft and tender on the inside. And we need to remember that, sensitivity. Proverbs 2, 10 and 11 says this. It says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And sometimes if we're just quiet and patient and listen, we'll understand where our people are coming from. We'll see, even though we might not agree, we'll see where they're coming from. And that discretion will save us in that it will leave open the door of opportunity for us to continue to minister to them. So we looked at looking at our conduct in regards to our call, the word was humility, and considering our conduct with regard to our culture, and our word is sensitivity. Now, I want us to look at our conduct with regard to Christ. And that word is ability. Ability. I read a book called The Christ of the Indian Road. The Christ of the Indian Road by E. Stanley Jones. And he told a story. He gave an anecdote that just floored me. And I'll never forget it. He was talking to an Indian man and trying to witness to this Indian man. And the Indian man said, "Jesus is ideal and wonderful, but you Christians, you are not like him." I thought, what an indictment. But it's true. We naturally are not like him. That is not the way we wake up in the morning like Christ. That is something that has to, first of all, put off and then has to be put on. That is something that is done deliberately. And when we consider our conduct or our conversation in regard to Christ, we realize that the only way that can be accomplished is through Him and His ability. Look at Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2 with me. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. And we'll see the remarkable impact that Jesus had in His community. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Of course, this is at the beginning of that famous chapter on Jesus seeking the lost sheep and the Holy Spirit, the lost coin, and God the Father, the lost Son. But the Bible says in verse 1, "Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." That's amazing to me, because we know that Christ was the epitome of holiness and righteousness. But at the same time, when He walked into a group of people, who was attracted to Him? The worst of society. The prostitutes, the publicans, who were despised by everyone. Those people were attracted to Christ, and those were the ones that could not miss a word that He had to say. When we go out into our community, who is attracted to us? Are we a magnet showing forth the salvation of the Lord? We have it right here. We can sing praises. We can praise the Lord with the best of them. But our conduct, our manner of living, is it attractive? Do people who are lost see Christ in us? Are they drawn to us? We go into our churches and we sit down in our churches to praise the Lord. I don't see any publicans sitting there. I don't see very many prostitutes sitting there. I don't see very many people like that in our congregations. And it's very clear the reason. Because we are not like Him. We're ugly Americans. We're self-centered. We're the old man personified many times. Jesus has the ability. We read earlier this week in 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifested in the flesh. When we think about love, the Bible says God is love. And we know Jesus Christ was the epitome of love. When we think of holiness, we know that Jesus Christ, that God is holy. You know, in the tabernacle and in the temple, the holiness of God was plastered all over the place. And of course, if somebody would enter into the Ark of the Covenant with a mercy seat that wasn't a high priest prepared in the right way, he would be killed because of the holiness of God. Jesus Christ personified that holiness. God is also good. God is good. Everything about Him is good. And we know that Jesus is God and that Jesus is the epitome of everything that this world needs. Everything. Jesus can. The ability to show forth the testimony of our salvation is through Jesus Christ. We cannot. Paul, the greatest missionary perhaps there was, Paul, says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Paul, the Apostle Paul, said, "I'm a rascal. We know there is none that doeth good, no, not one." We know all are unclean, and we know that our righteousness is as filthy rags in the natural state that we were born with, the natural man. We are ugly, we are selfish, we are sinful, and there is nothing good that we can do. Beyond that, we don't even have the ability to do good. You ever catch yourself maybe once in a while thinking, you know, I did pretty good today? But even at that point, when you think about how good you did, ask yourself why you did good. What was your motive? Even our motive stinks in the natural condition. We don't have the ability, but God has the ability. And I think in wrapping it up this morning, we can see that from our ministry theme verse here at Bio. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11, verse 36. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. This is our verse. If you want a verse that describes the heart and soul of Bio, this is it, Romans 11, 36. You'll see it on our literature and you'll see it on our signs. Romans 11, 36 says, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And in this verse, we find the key. We find the ability to make sure that our conduct is that which is Christ-like. We first see in this verse, "of Him." Of Him. That telling me that this, that everything belongs to Him. The ability to be Christ-like can only come from Him. Right. Only holiness is His. And only goodness is only His. And wisdom is only His. And power is only His. Anything that's right is His. We possess none of that. And so it's of Him. Of Him. And it says, and through Him. Through Him. The ability to be Christ-like can only come when we are in Him. When we are in Him. The Bible says in Colossians 2:6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Because we cannot have our conduct glorify Christ. Our conversation cannot show the salvation of God in and of ourselves. But when we are in Him, then the world sees Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:12 says, "That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." The grace of God poured upon us, sinful men and women, allows us to be in Christ. And when we are in Christ, then the world no longer sees John Yingling. The world no longer sees Joel Desir. The world sees Jesus Christ. Just like that Indian man said, "You are not like Him." I pray that it is said of me that I am like Christ. And that is something that is deliberately done. In Acts chapter 11, verse 24, we're told of Barnabas. Barnabas is my hero in the Scripture, besides Christ, of course. Barnabas is my favorite. He was a missionary, and he ministered in a way that I like to minister. Barnabas was an encourager. He was one that came alongside people that strengthened them and encouraged them. And the Bible says of Barnabas, "For he was a good man." But it didn't stop there. If we keep reading, we'll see the ability. How was he a good man? Full of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Yeah. Full of the Holy Ghost. So, everything that we need to glorify God belongs to Christ. Of Him. The only way to glorify Christ is to be in Him, so that He is the only thing seen instead of ourself. And then lastly, to Him. The ability to be like Christ can only come when our motives are pure. That's something that no one can see but God and you. Sometimes I have to stop myself and ask, why am I doing this? You know, I need to get out there and knock on more doors because it's time to write a prayer letter. Wait a minute here. Why are we doing this? What is our agenda? Are we trying to be impressive in our fundamentalist movement? Are we trying to write a prayer letter? Are we trying to make it easy for ourselves for some economic gain? What is our motive? Our motive should be Christ.
Yes.
Christ. That should be our motive. In 2 Timothy 1:9 it says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." You know, God made us sovereign beings with a will. And especially for us as Americans, it's hard for us to believe that our will has to be submitted to someone or something else. We live in a democracy. Our voice is important. Everyone has a right to vote. Even the illegals have a right to vote. It's hard for us to think, wait a minute, I am not my own. I was created. I was bought with a price. There's a purpose for me that's not my own. My agenda must be Christ. That is the only way that we can make sure that our conduct glorifies the Lord. To Him. Everything to Him. And this is a discipline. This is something that it can be. I mean, we've seen dear women of God and men of God who have made walking with Christ a lifetime habit. And we can see it seems simple to them to have that be their reflex. But this is choices that we make in day in and day out to walk in Christ, so that the ability to magnify God in our conduct is there through Christ and not in ourselves. I want to read that verse one more time in Hebrews 11:36. "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever." That is the heart of the matter. And like in Psalms, we can praise the Lord, but the Hebrew proverb there that compares and contrasts says, and we can praise the Lord by showing the salvation of God, by being in Him and allowing His ability to flow through us. May it be said about us, that one looks like Jesus. That one responded to me like Christ would respond to me. And again, I appreciated Lucinda's talk yesterday. And Lucinda spoke exactly with many of the things I'm saying here, and that how we need to have compassion like Christ. We need to have humility, be clothed with humility. We need to be sensitive. It's hard for a guy like me. I can be a hard-charging person. When I see something I want done, I'm ready to go and get it, and I'm not going to stop until I get it. But to stay in Christ with His ability, to stay behind and allow Him to lead and allow Him and His agenda to go first, that is how we magnify the Lord in our conduct. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much again for this week and all the work that's went into it. And Lord, we know the secret. The secret is You. You are everything. Everything is in You, and everything is for You, and everything is through You. And I pray that You would help us to be men and women of God that live in our conversation and our conduct in this way. In Jesus' name I pray.